like, man, okay. And a verse of scripture comes to mind that we'll eventually get that deals with this morning. Let me pray. Father, this morning, help us to stay awake long enough to know that you're glorious, that you're God. Let us understand well enough that we've been forgiven in Christ. And let us anticipate not just the birth of Christ that we celebrate, but a greater resurrection of him and a resurrection to come of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This may come as a shock to some of y'all, but December 25th may not actually be the accurate date of the birth of Christ. I know that's striking to some of y'all. It may not be. Thank you, Chuck. It may be January, sometime in January in the equinox. You know, I will tell you briefly how we got December 25th. From my understanding is one of the kings of old after he got saved, or one of the leaders of old after he got saved, recognized that December 25th was actually a pagan holiday of the worship of the sun, S-U-N. It was a pagan holiday. December 25th was a pagan holiday. But as he came across in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, he understood this verse to say, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Guess how the prophet Malachi spelt son in that passage? S-U-N. And based on that, he said, "I'm going to declare 25th of December, this pagan holiday of the worship of the S-U-N, to be the worship of the S-O-N, Jesus Christ." As Scott and I were praying this week, we realized, Lord, this may not be the birthday, but it's close enough for me to celebrate. It is, and I hope you are too. Now, brace yourselves. Pad the pew behind you, because we are going to talk about the Higgs boson and why it is so important. People are thinking, what? Scientists say they have found hints of the existence of the Higgs boson, a never-before-seen subatomic particle thought to be a fundamental building block of the universe. In a highly anticipated press conference this week, researchers announced that two independent experiments at the Large Hadron Collider, and if you don't know what that is, brace yourself, I'll tell you that too, in Geneva, have turned up signs of the so-called God particle. The God particle. While the experiments haven't yet churned up enough data to confirm the Higgs boson existence, experts say finding the elusive particle would rank as one of the top scientific achievements of the past 50 years. How does the Higgs boson work? The Higgs boson is part of a theory first proposed by physicist Peter Higgs and others in the 1960s to explain how particles obtain mass. Why is the Higgs boson called the God particle? The popular nickname for the elusive particle was created for the title of a book by Nobel Prize winner physicist Leon Letterman. Reportedly against his will, as Letterman has said that he wanted to call it, brace yourself, the goddamn particle. Because nobody could find the thing. He did not want it called the God particle. God particle is a nickname I don't really like, says Archer. It has nothing to do with religion. The only theoretical similarity is you're seeing something that's a field that's everywhere in all places. How are scientists searching for this Higgs boson? For the past year, scientists have searched for the Higgs boson by smashing protons together at high energy in the $10 billion Large Hadron Collider at CERN in Geneva, Switzerland. Inside the Large Hadron Collider, which is located 328 feet below the ground, in a 17-mile tunnel. Now, I got to tell you, the reason I'm not God is I'm too much of a practical joker. These guys are spinning these protons around using magnetic fields to steer them into a collision. If I were God, every now and then I would toss a particle in there just for fun. When they weren't looking. Is it going to be here this time? What are you doing, Lord? Oh, I'm just messing with these scientists, guys. They're in there. Here we go. The particle accelerator, the highest, most powerful particle accelerator ever built. High-speed proton collisions generate a range of even smaller particles that scientists sift through to search of a signal in the data suggesting the existence of the Higgs boson. Okay, so they first collide these things together. Kind of like God saying, bink. That's how God did it. He didn't need a collider. He just threw them together. You're just hoping that somewhere in these collisions that you see something. Some sort of a statistical bump. That's how we found the God particle. Somehow it's a statistical bump. Martin Archer believes a failure to find the Higgs boson would be even more exciting than discovering the elusive particle. I'm going to spend $10 billion, build a 17-mile tunnel, and when I don't find what I'm looking for, I'm going to get excited. Right. He's excited to spend 50 years and $10 billion to not find something. And here's what he says. If we don't see it, it actually means that the universe at the most fundamental level is more complicated than we thought. Open your books to Genesis 1:1. Let me answer.
Let there be light.
Let there be light. One of the things I wish the creation account had said is, let there be common sense. Genesis 1:1. And I know this may not make a whole lot of sense to you initially, but folks, we're going to come back. This comes full circle. Genesis 1:1. They're looking for the elusive God particle and missing God. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We're not going to read all of Genesis 1:1, but there is a glorious creative account. But here are the things I want you to catch. In verse 3, the first three words says what?
And God said.
Thank you. The first three words of verse 6 say what?
And God said.
The first three of verse 9 says?
And God said.
Verse 11?
And God said.
Verse 14?
And God said.
Verse 20?
And God said.
Verse 24?
And God said.
Verse 26? All right. Search for the particle, if you want. I'm going to find a much simpler, more life-transforming solution. You may try to find a particle that somehow existed after the high-speed collision of a proton and another obstacle. But in the end, the conclusion you should draw is that God said. God said. Hebrews 11:3 says this, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How did the creation account work? Then God said. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are not seen, the things which are seen were made of the things which are invisible. Colossians 1, 16 through 17. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Who is that? Him. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is the glorious creation. God speaking. The God particle. I'll take these two pieces and whack them together. And then I'll speak everything into existence. That's the glorious creation. But it's the birth of the Savior. Can we look at His glorious incarnation? Because that incredible God, who said, who created the heavens and the earth, who spoke everything into existence, decided He wanted to show up for mankind. And not just show up for mankind. He wanted to come and die for mankind. Because our sins had separated us from God. And the only way you and I were going to enter the presence of this Creator God was for God Himself to come and die in your place. In what the Bible calls the substitutionary atonement. Him dying for your sin, that your sin would not separate you from Him. Would you turn with me to John 1:1? And John 1:1 is going to begin with a very interesting phrase. Now, I will have to tell you, I am going to get a little doctrinal in here. I'm going to read from portions of the commentary here from John MacArthur because I think it's essential to understand. I also think it's important to feed, as best I can, some of the folks who are really, really deep into these discussions. John chapter 1, verse 1 begins to tell us about this Creator God who's the great Creator coming to be the great incarnation. He's done the great creation, now He's going to be the great incarnation. In the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Where was Jesus Christ before the manger? As the Logos. With God. He was God. Here you go, theologians. John used the phrase in an absolute sense to refer to the beginning of the time, space, material universe. The word was is a verb that highlights the eternal preexistence of the Word, i.e. Jesus Christ. Before the universe began, the second person of the Trinity always existed. He always was. John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am, Christ would say. The word is used in contrast with the word was made or were made. And because of John's theme that Jesus Christ is the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity, John does not include a genealogy as Matthew and Luke do in the life of Christ. While in terms of Jesus' humanity, He had a human genealogy. In terms of His deity, He had no genealogy. He was the Greek word logos, the Word. Before Abraham was, before in the beginning, He was with God. He was God. Let's continue. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And a verse you ought to have memorized by now with as many times as I've repeated it. But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then this great creation becomes the great incarnation, and the Word became flesh. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. We celebrate the birth of Christ. It is God taking on a body. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the prophets to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by Son. Not by His Son, but by Son. Meaning the language that God is using to communicate is Jesus Christ. Now, we've got this glorious creation. We've got this glorious incarnation. We know that God took on flesh and blood. Let's go see what that looked like in a passage that is so familiar to us in Luke chapter 2. You've got the great creation. You've got the great incarnation. Let's look at this great incarnation in Luke chapter 2. I kid you not, I will be short today. Maybe not short, maybe Short's a measure of height. That won't take much time today. Are you at Luke chapter 2 with me? All right. And it came to pass in those days, recognize this, that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called... Some of y'all are still with me here. Because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He was to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was, in Scott's words, no room for them in the inn. Go sleep in the field, he said. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Hey, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You see, before there was a babe Ruth, there was a babe lying in a manger. The babe. Matthew 1:23 tells us this, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Two comments on these two things coming together. The Higgs boson and the glorious incarnation of Jesus Christ. Number one, stop looking for a particle and start looking for a person. Scientists are so excited they think they have found the God particle. Woohoo! That itty-bitty, less than atomic-sized particle that became the starting point for all the known existent matter and non-existent matter. They have been working on it for 47 years. They have theorized it for 400. They should be proud of themselves. But when God Himself, who created all things, would be found, He was found by a couple of shepherds. The brilliantest minds of the planet are looking for the God particle. The most humble of people on the planets have found God Himself. Not a particle. The Creator. The Creator God. In an itty-bitty package. When God wanted to be found 2,000 years ago, before the world's greatest physicists and scientists could detect the blip of what they believed might possibly be a potential God particle, humble shepherds found God Himself. 1 Corinthians 1:20, "Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Because John 1:14 said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." They're looking for a particle instead of a person. But here's the other issue. They're researching instead of receiving. They're researching instead of receiving. Can I take you back through John 1 through a couple of verses? In verse 5 of John chapter 1 it says, "They did not understand and they did not comprehend." In John chapter 1, verse 10, "The world did not know." And it's bad enough in 5 that they didn't understand or comprehend, and in 10 that they did not know, but verse 11, "He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him." In contrast, verse 12 of John 1 says, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Jeremiah 29. Verse 13 and 14 says this. And you will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all your heart. Not with instrumentation, not with billions of dollars of electronic equipment, not when you smash particles together, but you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And in verse 14, he says, I will be found by you. Folks, that's it. The message this morning is done. You can search for him intellectually and try to discount him. Or you can be as humble as a shepherd and find him as soon as you look for him with your whole heart. Merry Christmas. Father, you aren't in hiding that you need to be found. You didn't need to be discovered. You came to be on display. Father, in the midst of all this scientific work, I pray that these people would look for the person who may have created the God particle, if there is such a thing. But Father, how many men will miss? How many men will miss that God is with us, Emmanuel? How many will discount a babe lying in a manger was God Himself who came to save men from their sins? And in the end, when we profess to be wise, we're made to be fools. Father, thank you for the Son, Jesus Christ. Deity on display, wrapped in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and identified not by scientists, but by shepherds. May wise men still seek him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.